Today is June 30th, 2008, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 128, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
Managing editor?
Oh, yeah, how about that?
Congratulations.
Well, thanks, dude.
You're welcome, and I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-at-large. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/AWR, and if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at awr@macobserver.com. So, yeah, congratulations are in order for Jeff. As we said internally to the staff, we've rewarded Jeff for all his hard work since the fall of 2005 by punishing him with a new title and a lot more responsibility.
And I think you got the sweet part of the deal, because now you get to be editor at large.
I get to be editor at large, which means that I can stop even pretending to do all the work that Jeff is now doing.
But well, how about that? Although I have to say, you certainly are leaving very big shoes for me to fill. And when I say leaving, I don't mean to imply that you're not going to be part of TMO anymore, because you certainly are.
No, yeah, I'm taking on the title of co-publisher, which is really how we've been doing things all along anyway, and I'll have the editor at large title. But more importantly, I'm probably going to be writing more, just not messing with the day-to-day news stuff at all.
You know, and frankly, I'm actually really excited to see you writing more, because, well, I think you're really good. So that's going to be a great thing.
Thank you kindly. Well, congratulations, Jeff, man. It's been a long time in the coming, and I'm super excited for both of us. So woot,
and congratulations to you, because now you have more freedom to do just exactly what you want at TMO.
That's true. And I guess that's kind of what we've been up to for the last week or so. And I guess with that, we should get on to the news.
I guess, as long as we're here.
Yeah.
Blizzard announced Diablo 3, Apple kind of updated Leopard again, Apple's lawsuit express pulled into the station another time, and the Mac is showing up in 8 out of 10 businesses surveyed. Apple's ads are good enough to watch even on TiVo, an iPhone deal for China is getting closer, and Beijing will have its own Apple store soon. In this week's quick tip, auto-opening files with iCal.
Today's top story is, well, let's just say it's not the release of Leopard 10.5.4. Nope, we're pleased to report that, drumroll please, Blizzard has announced the long-awaited and expected sequel to the Diablo franchise, the cleverly named Diablo 3. The company made the announcement at the Blizzard Entertainment Worldwide Invitational event held in over the weekend, causing little game nerds like me to be all over Twitter discussing how we simply cannot wait for the game to come out. Fortunately, Blizzard didn't actually tell us when it will be released, but the company did show off two classes running through a full level of the game, kicking butt and spewing bug swarms in the process. The company demonstrated the fan-fave Barbarian class, along with a new class called Witch Doctor, and I think they called it a Witch Doctor because it's a Witch Doctor. And the game will be released with a total of 5 character classes whenever it does make it to store shelves. In the meanwhile, you can see trailers, videos, artwork, and other information at Blizzard's Diablo 3 site.
And Apple updated Leopard to version 10.5.4 on Monday, an update that includes, well, very little. There's about a dozen security improvements, bug fixes in iCal, bug fixes in Safari, and...
Psst, Jeff, wake up! Jeff!
What? Oh, right. Sorry. Well, there's also a minor fix that involves corrupt files in Adobe's Creative Suite 3. And, well, We'd tell you more, but frankly, it's just too boring.
Ain't that the truth, brother? Typhoon Touch Technologies added Apple, Toshiba, Palm, and several other companies to a lawsuit on June 23rd. And that lawsuit alleges that the various companies are infringing on touchscreen technology patents that it owns. The case was originally filed in December of 2007 against Dell and could, according to Typhoon, extend to quote-unquote millions of devices that are already on the market. Typhoon CEO Teddy McGreeterson said, "Dude, like, have you seen how much money Apple's making? We want some of that, you know?" All right. Typhoon CEO is not named Teddy McGreeterson, and whoever is the Typhoon CEO is did not say what I said he said.
But you know, I think the important point is that I'm actually easily entertained.
Probably. Now, Typhoon does actually hold two patents that it claims the companies are using without proper licensing. The patents date from January 1995 and October 1997, that is, and they both describe portable computers with touchscreen. That's pretty succinct. And the company claims that devices like the iPhone, iPod Touch, and other smartphones, PDAs, and tablet PCs with touchscreen interfaces fall under their scope. You know, where does Palm fit into this? Where does the Newton fit into this?
You know, wasn't the Newton before those patents?
And so was the Palm.
Actually, the Palm, I think, is right in the middle of that.
Well, all right. Well, we don't know. So we'll wait to save our speculation for the context machine. Typhoon has already reached out of court settlements with Motion Computing and the curiously named Electovaya. Considering the growing trend towards touch-based computing interfaces, Typhoon's patent suits could have a significant impact on the adoption of the technology. What is more likely, however, is that the cases will be settled out of court and the real impact will be an increase in Typhoon's profits.
And the Michigan-based iPod mechanic, iPod Repair Company, has found itself in the middle of an Apple-instigated lawsuit for allegedly using the iPod name without authorization and for bilking Apple for replacement iPods and iPod repairs. Apple suit targets Nicholas Woodhams and claims he was not given permission to use the iPod trademark in his company name and that he failed to follow through with an agreement to phase out the use of the name and his associated company URL by January 2007. It also claims that he exploited the iPod Shuffle Advanced Replacement Program by filling out replacement forms in his customers' names. According to Apple, Mr. Woodhams supplied a credit card number as required by the replacement program and then declined the charges when he didn't return damaged iPods when the replacements arrived. He then supposedly sold the iPods he received through the advanced replacement program at a substantial discount, and the suit claims that his actions overall cost Apple over $75,000. Apple is seeking triple the damages in the case because it feels Mr. Woodhams' actions were intentional and deliberate. The company also wants the court to force Mr. Woodhams to give up the iPod Mechanic's domain name and all associated trademarks. I think they also want him to wear a t-shirt that says, "I'm stupid."
Yeah, if Apple is right here, not the brightest bulb in the pack, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. In the meanwhile, the Yankee Group surveyed 700 senior IT administrators and high-level executives and compared the results to a previous survey in 2006. And in that comparison, the appearance of Macs in all of their collective companies jumped from 47% to 80%. That's despite the reality that Apple has done little to promote the Mac in the enterprise or to show that they are trustworthy enterprise partners. Yankee Group research fellow Laura DiDio said that a number of the businesses they surveyed stated that they now have 50, 100, or even several thousand Macs. One of the reasons for the increase cited by the Yankee Group is the ability of the Mac to run other OSs in virtualization. In fact, 28% of the sites surveyed said they were doing just that. The reliability of Apple hardware was also cited as a reason for adoption. Ms. DiDio said, quote, "The difference now is that the decision to admit Macs into businesses is much more concerted and formalized. People are making the choice to go with Apple, not just to let it in, but that it's a viable choice," unquote. Very interesting.
Indeed. TiVo's stopwatch program tracks the number of ads its subscribers watch, even though most people tend to skip through commercials to see the rest of their show. When users do watch the commercials, ads for Apple's Macintosh computers ranked in 6th and 8th places in the top 10 most watched ads list for April. Now, according to TiVo, there isn't a correlation between the top commercials and a show's popularity. In fact, the commercials with the highest rankings appeared in shows that didn't make it into the top 10 list. According to TiVo Vice President and General Manager Todd Younger, quote, "As DVRs continue to proliferate, understanding which advertisements hold audiences in which programming environments, especially during time-shifted viewing, is crucial," unquote.
Apple and China Mobile appear to have overcome the biggest issue that has been keeping the companies from striking a deal to bring the iPhone 3G to China. Apparently, revenue sharing, a condition that has already been dropped in other markets, was still on the negotiation table, at least in theory, but it has finally been pulled from any potential deal. Apple's agreement to relent on major sticking points like revenue sharing means that Chinese consumers are a step closer to seeing legit iPhones on store shelves instead of the gray market units that have been available so far. The change in attitude also means Apple is a little closer to tapping into China's 540 million strong cell phone user base. More than 500,000 people.
Wow.
Oh, the iPhone 3G is scheduled to go on sale in about 20 countries on July 11th.
And Apple will be making its retail debut in China with its Beijing store's July opening. The three-level store will be in the fashionable bar area in Sanlitun. While Apple hasn't announced the official grand opening date, industry insiders are claiming the doors will open to the public on July 19th. Insiders also claim that Apple has plans to open a second Beijing store during the Olympics. Apple is set to launch its new iPhone 3G with its faster data speeds and GPS support on July 11th, but China won't be in the first wave of countries offering the second-generation iPhone because Apple has not yet reached a distribution deal with China Mobile. Apple does, however, hope to bring the iPhone 3G to China before the end of the year.
Right, it's time for the Context Machine. That's where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on.
Indeed, and I think we should start with what's clearly the most interesting topic for the week. So, have you seen any good movies lately?
You know, I did. I saw Wanted this weekend.
Oh, really?
I did. I saw Wanted on Saturday with my wife. And I went expecting to see all flash and no substance, and I was just blown away by the movie. I totally loved it. I love the plot. I love the dialogue. I love the acting. I love the framing. I love, you know, I mean, you definitely have to suspend your disbelief a little bit. Well, more than a little bit, but I just thoroughly enjoyed the story. Thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a great movie.
You know, I've actually been really looking forward to seeing Wanted after I read an article where the author of the graphic novel said that he felt many aspects of the movie improved on what he had created. And so that's saying a lot.
That is saying a lot. Of course, that might actually mean that some diehard fans of the original graphic novel may not actually like it, but be that as it may, I personally loved it. My wife loved it. I had one of my bandmates said that he found some of the things a little bit too preposterous, but I don't know. My opinion is it's a great movie. You know, the funny thing is that we went to go see that because we wanted to see it and WALL-E in the theater. And we figure that WALL-E is going to be around longer than Wanted. And so we maximized our chances of being able to see both of them in the theater by seeing Wanted first.
And see, I went the opposite direction. I just simply couldn't wait any longer to see WALL-E. So that's what I went to see this last weekend. And holy crap, I was blown away.
Oh, that's good news. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely fantastic. And in true Pixar fashion, it's about the story and not the animation. And the story just tells so well. And they did an incredible job. They took an amazing risk, which is to create a movie where your main characters can't speak English. And they totally pulled it off, and you understand exactly what WALL-E and the other robots are saying, and it just it was just an absolutely fantastic story, told incredibly well. And I'm expecting that when the Academy Awards roll around, they'll be on the list somewhere.
Yeah, you think they're going to beat Kung Fu Panda?
You know, yeah, they're going to beat Kung Fu Panda. Yeah, and now I got to see Kung Fu Panda before it came out, and I actually really liked Kung Fu Panda. It's one of two DreamWorks Animation movies that I enjoyed. But when WALL-E came out, holy crap, there's just no comparison.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not a big fan of DreamWorks Animation in the first place, but definitely a fan of what Pixar does. So there's our unexpected movie reviews for the weekends, folks. You can go see Wanted, you can go see WALL-E, and you're probably more likely to be disappointed by Wanted than WALL-E, but I loved Wanted.
You know, I'm looking forward to seeing it, too, and I don't think I'm going to be disappointed.
Good. All right. Well, let's move on to some actual Apple-related stuff. And you know, I thought it was kind of interesting how little was in the 10.5.4 update. It's like, why bother?
Okay, here's why bother. Because there's a bunch of things that should have been in 10.5.3 that weren't there. So this is, in my opinion, 10.5.3 and a half.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think that probably the Creative Suites thing. But, you know, it seems like the... Well, that's not really a security fix. But the Creative Suites 3 issue may have been the big reason to go ahead and release this update.
Yeah, I think so. And I know for a lot of people that work in the graphic arts industry or pro photography or whatever, where they're actually saving their Creative Suite 3 documents on a server, this was a huge problem that had been there in the past, had been fixed, and then was reintroduced in 10.5.3. And so for people that don't know what it is, if you have a Creative Suite 3 document saved on a server, and then you open that document while it's on the server, work with it, and then save it, your file is now corrupted and cannot be repaired ever.
And that is a huge issue for this small but hugely important and profitable aspect of Apple's Mac market, which is the creative professionals.
Right. And so that component of the update all by itself is worth the update and worth Apple's time to have created the update. It's unfortunate that they allowed 10.5.3 to get out the door with that problem in there. But, well, there you have it. It was there and now they fixed it. So,
yay!
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
And a woot.
Woot!
Woot.
So what did you think about this little thing about the Apple's ads being so watched?
I'm laughing for two reasons. First, that's all we could think of to say about 10.5.4. And then second, how sad is it that there are TV shows that are so uninteresting that the commercials are more interesting. Now, that said, I think Apple does a really good job of creating easily identifiable commercials that are also very easy to relate to. The Get a Mac ads I find to be wonderfully entertaining and clever.
Yeah, and of course, they're actually, gosh, is Apple even running any iPod ads right now? Because I don't think they are.
I guess I'd have to go look on my TiVo and see if there's something there. But I don't remember seeing an iPod ad for quite a while now.
Okay, well, you go ahead and go collate every ad that's on your TiVo, and you get back to me on what the results are. This, by the way, is the power of being co-publisher.
and here's the power of being managing editor. I'll have John Modellaro get right on that.
John, we have a very important topic. Is Apple showing iPod ads right now? And of course, we could just ask Apple PR.
We could, but what's the fun in that? I mean, we can make John go and sit in front of his TiVo for like 4 hours.
You know, power corrupts.
It does.
And this is just power. Just you know, immediately takes hold of Jeff and crushes his morals and ethics into a tiny little ball and punts.
Go team. It's just another step in our plan for world domination.
Exactly. All right. Seriously, though, this information from TiVo is, I mean, this isn't like world changing or anything. I just think that it's kind of interesting.
I thought it was really interesting because people really do, by and large, skip through the ads when they're watching TiVo. Mm-hmm. And I do it all the time. But get this, even though I've seen all of the Get a Mac commercials, and I think I have personally written an article about almost every single one that has come out, I'll still stop, back up, and watch, even if it's just the first few seconds, to go, okay, yeah, I've seen this one. And, you know, and I see this stuff all day, every day, and even I'm backing up occasionally to make sure that I'm not missing a new commercial.
Right, yeah, sure. I've done the same thing, of course. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners and readers have done the same thing, and apparently a bunch of other folks have too.
Yeah, so it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. And you know, let's move on to what I think is, well, it was the top story of the week. Diablo 3.
Diablo 3.
I didn't say it. I'm going to try that again. Diablo 3.
That was much better. And, you know, if you go back and add in some kind of cool reverb or something.
Oh, sweet. But, of course, if I do that, then they already heard it.
Yeah, which puts people in this kind of time warp loop thing.
Uh-huh.
And then at that point, we'll end up with some Star Trek fan that comes in and knows exactly how quantum mechanics works and can explain to everyone else why you were able to do the reverb thing, and then I was able to tell you afterwards you should go do the reverb thing.
It's completely clear that in episode 67 they showed how.
I'm picturing you pushing your glasses up on face.
Oh yeah, are you kidding?
Yeah,
I've got marks on my nose from that one. All right, so Diablo 3. For those of you who don't know, Diablo has been an amazingly popular franchise for Blizzard. In fact, Diablo 2 was getting content patches and bug fix releases for, I mean, 5-6 years after
it
had been released. I mean, yeah, I mean, just longevity out the yin yang. There were still gajillions of people playing it until I think World of Warcraft tended to steal them away. Now, of course, my long running joke has been that World of Warcraft really should have been called World of Diablo. And I know that doesn't mean a lot to you, Jeff, because you don't play the games, but World of Warcraft sort of was really, it was much more, well, it was much more a MMO implementation of Diablo than it had anything to do with the Warcraft franchise, period. Be that as it may, they made the decision to keep the Diablo franchise with this sort of three-quarter top-down view where you have a character and you go through and you kill things and you take their stuff.
I love the game already.
Yeah, well, you know, you watch the video that they released, and the video is pretty cool because what it has with it an narration of explaining exactly what's happening and exactly what they've added. You know, and you see how the barbarian was able to bring down some walls and how he was able to bust down some doors. You know, you see some of the new things that are being added to the game in terms of what the Witch Doctor can do, all that sort of stuff. And it's very interesting, very fun. And this is probably going to be a huge, massive hit and probably one of the few things to actually put a dent into World of Warcraft playing, if not World of Warcraft accounts, which I don't think it's not going to hurt Blizzard's bottom line, but I think that they're going to end up seeing a lot of people playing Diablo 3 instead of World of Warcraft.
You know, I watched the cinematic trailer that they have for the game, and then I watched the demo that they have as well. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Apparently, I have a hairball. Wow. Okay. Anyhow, I watched the demo thing, and I was just blown away. I mean, that was stunningly cool, and just the way everything worked, and it was like the physics were there too. You know, the big berserker, the barbarian when he hits a wall and all the stones fall out of the wall and it's crushing all these zombie guys, and I'm looking at this going, holy crap, that's just insane what they're putting in. And now keep in mind, I'm easily amazed with things like this because the kind of three-quarter player adventure game battle thing that I like to play is it's Lego Star Wars.
Noob.
I know. But
noob.
But I think it's cool, dude.
Well, it is cool. And you know, but the games have advanced quite a bit, and Blizzard has always done just such a great job of supporting the Mac platform. I know that their Mac client for World of Warcraft has been very successful. I'm expecting Diablo 3 to be a big hit on both the Mac and the PC platforms.
You know, Diablo 3 looked so cool to me that I would consider playing that game, and not just like, yeah, Brian, whatever, I'll go play it. But
hey, that's good news for John.
Yeah.
Because John will be getting your job.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, this is
wanted managing editor.
last seen taking the shrink wrap off of Diablo 3 box.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I misunderstood what you said. That's very funny. I imagine that the game is you know, probably going to bring in a lot more folk into the fold. You know, the thing with Diablo 3 is that it has a single player component, at least Diablo 2 did. I don't think they released any details on that, but what they've always done with Diablo is they've had a single-player mode, but then they've also had a way for you to play with other players on Battle.net.
The press release, as I recall, did say that there will be single and multiplayer modes, but they are not releasing any other information about those yet.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, with the magic of editing, our readers will never know what a dumbass I am.
I love technology.
Okay, so there's going to be a single-player mode, and this mode where you can play with other people. But the difference between Diablo and, say, a game like World of Warcraft is that it's not persistent. It's not always there. It doesn't require the sort of time investment that being a very successful World of Warcraft player requires. So, you know, it can appeal to more casual gamers because it's basically just a hack and slash, blast them up and take their stuff game.
You know, I'm clearly a casual gamer, and that's one of the reasons that I never got into World of Warcraft, because I simply didn't want to invest the time that it takes to really build up a character. But knowing that you don't have to do that with Diablo 3, you know, that's something that's kind of appealing to me. And just so people know that I'm not like a total noob.
Oh, game tard. Okay. You are a noob. I'm not a game tard, so go ahead.
Okay, noob. Okay. So I'm not a complete noob. I guess I'm retro because I was a hardcore marathon player.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Did they have color TVs yet back then?
Yeah, what we did was we took sheets of colored cellophane and put them over the display.
That marathon was a great game. And, you know, I can't wait to find out what the boys at Bungie have been doing since they left Microsoft.
You know, now that they have some more freedom in what they do, I think it would be really cool if they could get back into the just industry-breaking games or trendsetting games that they were developing for the Mac back before Microsoft snarfed them up. And
God, I loved Myth. Myth was such a great game.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole Marathon series, I just totally ate that up.
Oh, me too.
And actually, before I got the new MacBook Pro that I have now, I had gone and downloaded the open source recompiled for Intel version of Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And I would periodically go back and nuke me some four. Oh yeah.
That's always a good thing.
Oh yeah.
But you know, one note about the casual gaming in Diablo 3 and World of Warcraft and time thing. With World of Warcraft, you don't have to invest the time to simply play the game. It's just people tend to invest the time because they want to, because they don't want to stop playing.
Yeah,
there's always some bigger, better thing that you can go after.
You know, I just have these visions of becoming that South Park episode. Did you see that one?
We're becoming Brian Wanted, Editor Chief. You know, I still haven't seen the South Park episode, but I probably will. And the other thing about Diablo 3, though, relating to this whole casual and time invested, it does take a long time to take any character through. Like, the way Diablo 2 worked is there were three hardness levels, and you could get up to level 99, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to keep going through the game. Like, you know, you get through the entire game, almost, you know, however many tens of levels there were. And then you could start over and do it again at the next hardness level.
Oh, okay.
And that's how you kept progressing your character, which was, you know, one way to make a game more playable without having to actually develop more content. You just, you know, make your opponents in the same levels you've already done, make them harder.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, you can invest a lot of time in Diablo 3. It's just, I don't think it's going to be the same kind of time sink that most MMOs, especially World of Warcraft, tend to be.
Okay, good to know. So if I get into Diablo 3, there's a chance that I might occasionally be able to supervise TMO.
Well, that's good. Hey, you know, I think we probably about killed that topic. Let's move on to our listener and comment.
Sounds good. All right, so Apple Weekly Report listener, you know, I don't want to mispronounce his name, but I fear I will. Dwan?
I bet it's Dwayne.
Okay, let's call him Dwayne. All right, so Dwayne thought that I went on a little long on our last podcast about the whole iPhone unboxing thing. And here's what Dwayne had to say. Stop going on about people getting excited about unwrapping podcasts as a prop. How about if I try it again where I actually read what he said instead of randomly spewing out words? All right. Stop going on about people getting excited about unwrapping products as a problem about having to get it in an actual phone store. It equals a tiny, 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 tiny proportion of the world.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Fair enough. And but, you know, for that tiny, 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 tiny proportion of the world that actually takes the time to come out of the basement from playing World of Warcraft so they can go buy an iPhone, dude, that boxing's important.
Wanted, afternoon editor.
I think we have single-handedly wiped out the entire staff in about, what, half an hour?
Wanted for president, CEO of tech publishing firm.
I'm sure Dave is hanging his head low, shaking his head.
Yeah, Dave's not a big gamer. Or at least he hasn't been for a long while.
You know, well, it's probably because I haven't introduced him to Lego Star Wars.
Wanted readers, TMO. we love making fun of ourselves.
Clearly.
All right, and thanks for the comment, Dwayne. If you have any comments, please make sure that you chime in on the comments in our article postings, or write us at AWR, or shoot us a note, bang, at macadriver.com.
And Dwayne, if I mispronounced your name, I'm sorry.
Yep, let us know, and we'll fix it. All right, now, I'm actually pretty interested in your quick tip, and I'd like you to tell us about it.
All right. So this week's quick tip is about iCal. And the deal is iCal, when you set an alarm for an event, you can have it do more than just beep at you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the deal. All right. So what I like to do with iCal is set two alarms for events. And the first alarm goes off like 15 minutes ahead of the event time, like if I'm having a meeting with someone. And then my second alarm will go off like 5 minutes before the event. But that second alarm, instead of beeping and giving me a little dialogue on my Mac's display to tell me that I have an appointment, it goes and finds my meeting notes or whatever documents that I need to have to be able to participate in the meeting. It will go and find those and open them for me automatically. And so here's how this works. What you can do in iCal, first you have to create a new event. And then while you're in that new event, you know, setting your time and all that, you want to set your first alarm to go off at whatever time you want it to go off. Now add a second alarm. But instead of choosing like a message and alert, choose open file from that alarm pop-up menu. Then from the next pop-up menu that you get, you choose other, and then you can go and select the file you actually want to open. And then when you when it's time for your meeting, you will have already been alerted to it, and you will also have your notes for the event.
That's very handy. Now, here's my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Why won't iCal send me a frickin' email? Say, hey, dude, you got a meeting. Hey, dude, it's your mom's birthday. Hey, dude, your anniversary is coming up. Don't be a dumbass. I mean, seriously, why out of the box does iCal not send email reminders? Am I just missing something on that?
Well, you know, for the birthdays, I'm pretty sure you're spot on that you cannot add an alarm that's an email message. So I will have to find you a solution for that.
Please do, because after all, we know that the Quick Tip series is all about me.
Right. It is all about you.
It's all about making my life easier. And in this case, our dear listeners, I am your stand-in, or at least that's what I like to pretend to myself.
Now, as far as emails for other things, I'm going to have to go back and double check, because I thought that you could have an email alert go out.
Hmm.
But that's one of the features that I don't use, because I have my iPhone in my pocket or I'm at my computer.
Yeah, I would love some alerts on my iPhone too.
Yeah, and you know, like right now, our iPhone alerts are limited to to beeping at us.
Right, to beeping at us and stuff.
But, boy, wouldn't it be cool if you could set an iCal alarm on your iPhone so that at a certain time it would, like, open up an email attachment or something?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that way if I'm on the road and I have an appointment where I have notes that I need to follow, I can have that PDF attachment or whatever just automatically open, and it's there on my screen for me.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that iCal, just like with the .Mac/MobileMe, I think that although Apple has finally, made some major improvements with .Mac in the form of MobileMe, but going back to iCal, I mean, it's an application where Apple could and should do a lot more. And I mean, they have everything they need to make iCal be the most fantastic calendar app ever. And as it is, it's merely a good calendar app.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of things that Apple could do to just make iCal an over-the-top application. It has so much potential.
Yeah, I mean, and we're talking about with a developer, not like a team of developers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably a developer that manages iCal to begin with. I'm not privy to how Apple manages iCal. But I know that apps like this, generally speaking, are only going to have a developer dedicated to them.
And so, okay, so what we need to do is find out who that developer is. And then we start
bushwhack him.
Yeah.
No, I imagine that it's probably a resource and time issue. Like, as a matter of fact, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a developer who was in charge of iCal and something else.
Like maybe they're the iCal and address book developer.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, you know, it's when you see behind the scenes enough in enough companies, it's often surprising how much one person is doing. You know, like, you've got some great application and you just think that there's this whole team of people that have been making it so great, and then you meet the guy.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're cool.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, the iCal developer is cool. I'd like to see more resources developed or are devoted to this product to make it even better. And for instance, being able to send me an email alert like, say, Google can do.
Yeah, right? That would be very cool.
Plenty of online services can do. I would like to see iCal be able to do this.
You know, another thing I would like to see iCal have is a change to the interface. The whole to-do thing, where it's just a list down the side,
mm-hmm.
that drives me nuts. I want iCal to at least have an option so that I can display my tasks the same way that I did when I was using Palm Desktop back with System 8.5, where underneath each day in the week view, I can see the tasks that are assigned to that day.
Yeah, sure. And I'd actually also like to have more intelligent rolling over of those tasks.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Not that I ever have a task that I don't complete on time. Wanted, editor-in-chief. No, but seriously, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff like this that Apple could and should be able to do and do better than everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, when Apple puts its mind to these kinds of problems, their solutions almost always kick everyone else's ass out of the playground.
I agree. And, you know, I look at iCal as an application where Apple has set up just an incredible foundation to make a killer application.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't yet. And that said, with every other calendaring and to-do application that I've tried, I still come back to iCal.
Yeah, because one of the things I love about iCal is its integration with Address Book. But what I love about that is the ability to keep Address Book updated across all my machines, across my iPhone, across my iPod. Not that I use my iPod anymore because I use my iPhone. And across .Mac and on the web. So, you know, those kinds of integration, that kind of stuff is killer. That's what, to me, makes iCal and Address Book and Mail such fantastic programs, such a great little suite of apps, better than, say, Entourage, which has a very impressive feature list.
Right.
You know, Entourage is a very, very good piece of Mac software, but it can't quite do everything that I can do with Mail and Address Book and iCal on the web. It just can't, not quite.
You know, I've never really gotten into Entourage, and I've tried a few times, and I just, it doesn't fit my work style. But, you know, we're now in a position where there are incredible opportunities for other companies to step in and create that absolute killer calendaring and task management application that still handles all the syncing just like we want, because that database system that Apple's using is open. So all you have to do is access the same database that iCal and Address Book, databases that iCal and Address Book use, and then all of the other syncing would still work when MobileMe rolls out. That push system would still work,
mm-hmm.
and then you could use this other killer program on your desktop.
Yeah, you know, though, I have to say that I don't blame any developer for not wanting to try to tackle that. Apple does not have a great history with working well with others when it comes to, you know, products that it's also making.
Yeah, and you have to keep in mind that iCal and Address Book are included for free with Mac OS X.
Yeah, and anytime Apple sees something that the developer's doing, it's really easy for the company to do it too.
Right.
So I don't blame third-party developers for not really wanting to mess with Apple here. I just want to see Apple like really step it. I want to see iCal be everything that it can be, and I don't think that it is now. And I know that there's some cool plugins that are out there for iCal, and probably it wouldn't surprise me if everything that I want does exist out there somewhere. So go find it for me, buddy.
All right, I've written a note, and I'll go find this for you.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thanks for the quick tip today, and Hey, what's this in your recent files in your screenshot? Sexybabe15.jpg. What is that?
Nothing.
I'm kidding, but you can see a screenshot of exactly what Jeff is talking about on how to set this stuff up in the quick tip that was published, and you'll find that linked in the show notes. It's very handy. Go check it out.
It is. And, you know, and as long as we're talking about images that I include with articles, the quick tip that I ran on Monday the 30th, if you look at the picture that's a close-up at the edge of my MacBook Pro, mm-hmm. and look through the glass top of my desk, down below my desk, you will see my Mac Classic sitting on the floor.
I'll have to look at that.
Yeah, it's hiding down there, just, you know, quietly tucked away, ready for me to plug in the old keyboard and Barve soap mouse and turn it on and play, what was that, Chopper Command?
Chopper Command, what a great game. Hey, speaking of which, I have two TAMs that I've got to sell.
Oh, wow. Those were really cool machines.
I've got to sell them. I just got to, they're in boxes. They're still just as gorgeous as they've always been. And I got to sell them. So if you're looking for a TAM, make sure you let me know.
All right. And if you're thinking, what's a TAM? That's the 20th century iMac. 20th anniversary iMac.
I do the same
Holy thing, crap. 20th anniversary Macintosh.
Yes.
That Apple released, and it had that really killer Bose subwoofer, and I think it still looks very, very cool.
You know what's funny? It is better looking than many, if not most, contemporary PCs that are out there. It won't touch an iMac. It looks dated next to an iMac. But it next does. To the competition's machines, it tends to hold its own. It's funny as can be.
It's a very slick machine. And I know some people that were continuing to use a 20th century, a TAM. God dang, I keep saying 20th century.
I do the same thing with that. I call the machine the same thing all the time.
All right, so I'll stick to TAM. But so I know people that continue to use TAMs up until they switch to Intel Max because they just thought they were that cool.
Yep. And they have a built-in TV tuner.
They do.
So for a while, I had one of these set up on my desk, and I used it to watch TV.
That's really cool. All right. So you have two. You need to offload. And I'm sure that we have plenty of listeners out there that are ready to start the bidding war.
Indeed. Well, if you're interested in one, write us a note at awr@macobserver.com. And with that, Mr. Managing Editor, take us out.
I will do that. Okay. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CacheFly. Thank you very much, CacheFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us, and that's all for this week.
And since you're already subscribed, hey, why don't you stay subscribed?
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.